Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 through 19. We're in the first group of Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 8 through to the end of chapter 9. They are entitled Wisdom Speeches, not Wisdom Sayings, but Wisdom Speeches. As these are speeches that Solomon gave to his son, and as we saw last week, his children as a group, about the wisdom of God. The book of Proverbs gives us God's wisdom for every situation and circumstance in life. How God sees life, but more importantly, how God has it planned to live life. I probably never said it like that before, but stop and think about it. The creator of the universe, the creator of this life, and even though he has allowed sin to be in the world and for us to be in a broken world, live in a broken life, to realize our need for Christ, even though God has planned that, there is a purpose for it all. There is a way to live in the jungle, as I've said the last couple of weeks, in the jungle that we live in. He created it. He has designed the situations and circumstances. And in his wisdom, he shares how we are to live out our life in light of the way life was meant to be. If we go our own way, which is, by the way, our propensity, it's our natural inclination, is just to do what we want to do. We naturally do that. And that's what the Bible says naturally is sin. Anything that we want to do. And the reason why we want to do it is that's our own thing. That has nothing to do with the Lord. That's why Jesus said, if anybody desires to be his disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. Arnelmai is the word for denying. It means to reject yourself. You keep living, you have your ego, you have your desire, and Jesus said, but I'm going to lead you in my direction. Now, we can't go in two different directions. We can't go your way and go my way. So Jesus says you have to reject your way to be my disciple. That's why over the years, and you might think, well, that's why you're stuck out in Sisquoc. But that's why I've said over the years in churches that it's easier to become a member of a church than it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because to join a church, you got all these freedoms. In fact, they encourage you, come here and do what you want to do. Just do it within reason so it's not disruptive. I've also made the statement, which again might be why I'm out here, is that most churches would not want the Apostle Paul to be their pastor. And then to top that, I would say all churches would not want to have Jesus to be their pastor. Because he would say, if you're going to come in that door and if you're going to listen to me and listen to how I say life is to be lived, you have to deny yourself. So when you come in that door, and then once you leave that door, it's the same, you must reject yourself. How many Christians do you think would go to church under those circumstances? Hey, here's how I want things to be. I'm sorry, you have to deny yourself, and we have to deny you, okay? It's like going through the drive-thru and ordering and have the person over the microphone say, I'm sorry, we can't serve you. We can't give you what you want. That's tough, especially when you live in a culture like we do that offers and plays up and tries to motivate people to go for it. Fulfill your dreams. Yeah, well, what if my dreams go in the opposite direction of Jesus Christ? That's why Jesus said, "You, in order to stay on that path as you go through the jungle, you must deny yourself. You can't just see something that tantalizes your desires off on the side and go traipsing off over where the quicksand is and the snakes and the tigers and the lions and whatnot. I mean, the mosquitoes are bad enough on the right path, right? Wander out there where it gets a little more dangerous. So Solomon is telling his sons. And last week we saw in verses 1 through 9 the tradition of passing this wisdom down. I wish somebody had done that to me. I wish my family structure was such that my mother and my father had been taught, or they themselves had learned the wisdom of God from Proverbs and then sat down with us kids and taught us the Proverbs while we were growing up. That doesn't mean we would have obeyed them, but as soon as we disobeyed the wisdom of God and got into trouble and suffered the consequences for it, we would know why. And we'd be able to come back and say, it's just better to do things God's way. So in verses 1 to 9, he gathers all of his children together and tells them he's passing down to them what he had been taught by his father. His father, of course, was David, King David. And Solomon is now saying, I'm passing it down to you. So now in verses 10 to 19, we pick up the instruction concerning the two roads. If that sounds familiar to you, it's because a couple of weeks ago, we took the two roads in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Do you know that there's two roads in life? In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. You know how narrow the gate is to the road to life? You can only go through Jesus Christ. That's how narrow it is. Enter in through the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads away into destruction. And many are the ones entering through it. Because narrow is the gate and restricted is the road which leads away into life, and few are the ones who are finding it. That center path that goes right through the jungle is restricted. It's restricted in that you have to stay on the path. I don't know if you've ever gone up to Nahui Falls and the little signs that say stay on the path. In fact, I think that's probably everywhere where there's a trail or a path. Poison oak, poison ivy, injury possible. Stay on the path. Well, for some reason, and you and I can identify with that, whether you're a young person now or you used to be a young person. And I was thinking the other day, I'm so old, I can't remember when I was a young person. And was I real? I had to be, right? I had to be. Even when you're a young person, tell me what I can't do so that I can do it. Whatever you tell them. Some parents use reverse psychology. That doesn't work because you're training them when they get out on their own, and it doesn't work when they get out on their own. It's a restricted path. It's not legalistic. It's not religiously legalistic. It's stay on the path. Everything outside of the path, there are consequences for you. So don't go. If we take our kids to the park and we see that on the side, we tell them, don't go. Then why do we, in the path of life, why do we get off the path? Because there's something innate in us that says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Keep off the grass. What do? People walk right across the grass. It's just part of our sin nature. So there are two roads, and Jesus said, gave the command, enter in through the narrow gate and the restricted path. But there's very few people. There's lots of religious people. There's lots of church people. There's lots of people that believe religiously in God. Do you know that one of the greatest monuments that draw people into the wide gate and the broad road that leads to destruction is religion? Do you know the Bible presents 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan's the most religious person in the world. He even presents himself as an angel of light. You know, he's got ministers in the pulpit, which is why I took the pulpit down. So people wouldn't think that. He's got people in the pulpit. He's got people preaching the Bible. He's got people preaching Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it's a different Jesus. It's a different spirit. It's a completely different gospel, though it's coming from the same book that everybody else uses. So it's narrow. Verses 10 to 13, the commands and characteristics concerning the road of wisdom. So there's the road of wisdom and the road of destruction. There's only two roads. So he gives the command, hear my son. That's how he opens all of his messages. Hear my son and receive my speeches. Again, the word hear that we focused on for the last couple of weeks doesn't mean to listen. It means to hear it. Don't just listen and leave. Hear what I'm saying. And receive my speeches. Don't reject it. Receive it. This is wisdom. This is about life itself. And I keep hearing every week of people that say, well, you Christians have your rule book, your how-to book. You know, Islam has their writings and Buddhism has theirs. And wait a minute. But Islam might have their prophet Muhammad, and they say, well, you guys have your prophet Jesus. Wait a minute. There's a difference here. Because Jesus didn't just say he's the chosen prophet. He says he's God in the flesh. So we got a problem. Jesus said, everyone will be judged by me and by my words. No other prophet in the world can say that. It's all by Jesus. Everybody's going to have to face Jesus. And the Bible's not just a religious book for Christians. It's the Word of God. And a person can say, well, I don't have to follow the Bible because I don't believe it. I'm not a Christian. I have a different religion. What we're presenting to you is the Scriptures present that these are the rules of life by the Creator. And He says, I've created life to be a certain way, that circumstance that you live in, and here's how I want you to live. Now, if you choose not to believe it, like I told you a couple of weeks ago, if I decided I did not want to believe in the law of gravity, and I was going to go up and jump off the church to prove it to you, you'd think I was worse off than you think that I am. Somebody posted on the internet the other day a quote from Spurgeon, a preacher from England a long time ago. He says, don't feel bad if people feel ill will about you because you're worse off than they think you are. I thought that was pretty good. lest you think I'm worse than you think I am about going up and jumping off the building, why just because I don't want to believe that law doesn't mean it's not true. There are spiritual laws that God has instituted into creation and into life. And Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 is the principle of life that rules everything. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a person sows, that they shall also reap. Whether you want to believe it or not, it doesn't matter. God has his way. Now, other religions have their way, and if I choose not to believe their way, it's not going to be a detriment to me. But if you approach the Word of God that way, then you got problems. Then we got problems. Hear, my son, and receive my speeches and the promises, and the years of life will be many for you. How it literally reads. And as we've studied before, we've seen this three other times where he talked about not just an abundant of years of life, but he's talking about quality of life. But he's also talking about eternal life. There's life here, and this quality of life, of eternal life, continues in the future. That's what millions of Christians are in church and fellowship celebrating this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that enables us and guarantees a future for us in heaven because Jesus defeated death. And he's at the right hand of the Father now, and that's where I'm headed. And he paved the way for me, paved the way for you. Back in chapter 3, verse 18 of Proverbs, when talked about wisdom, Solomon says, she is a tree of life to the ones laying hold on her, and blessed are the ones holding her firm. Life. How much life, quality of life, spiritual life do you want to experience? He's presenting in these verses that wisdom should not just be something you practice and follow. Wisdom of God should be your life. Verse 11, he says, I have taught you. Notice the perfect tense verbs. Perfect tense means it's true today based upon a past action. So he says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. He has done this for them. He's not only taught them, he has led them. He walked the talk. He not only taught them, he basically said, now watch me live it out. How many of us parents can say that to our children? And I used to hear it, and then I kind of picked that up when we first started having kids. Don't do what I do, just do what I say. No, they do what you do. Solomon walked the talk. I have taught you and I have led you in the way that you should go. Verse 12. The promises for them. In your walking. Notice all these terms that have to do with going down a road or going down a path. While you're walking down this path of wisdom, your step will not be hindered. Nothing can get on that path to hinder you. Because not only am I told to stay on the path and don't venture out into the areas that God says don't go, but he has made it so that nothing can get on that path to hinder me. Nothing will impede as I follow him. I think it's interesting, and I came across something this week where someone said, you know, you can't steer a ship unless it's moving. You can't steer a bicycle unless it's moving. So in your walking, there's nothing going to stop you. So walk. Follow the Lord. There's nothing there to stop you. And you're making decisions to walk in the direction of your path by moving. Heading out, making those decisions to do what God wants you to do. So in your walking, your step will not be hindered. If you run, you will not stumble. That's a guarantee. God's going to keep us from stumbling. Nothing. He's not going to allow anything on the path to hinder. You say, well, I've been hindered and I've stumbled. Guess what? You weren't on the path when that happened. Then three commands in verse 13. Take firm hold on the discipline. The word instruction, musar, in the Hebrew is the word for discipline. When I said a few minutes ago about the restricted path, I meant the disciplined path. To a lot of people, discipline is limitation and restriction. I can't live that way. I can't live a disciplined life. Take hold firm on discipline. Secondly, do not relax. Now, this doesn't mean you can't just take it easy after a hard day. Don't relax going down that path. Be alert to what's happening to you. Don't say, well, I just keep one foot on the path. I come over here and pick these flowers. You know. And before you know it, just like out here, you take one step out of bounds from where the everything is mowed, your foot might fall into a gopher hole. Big one. One step off the path. Do not relax. Guard her. That means be alert to anything that might be tempting you or coming into your life that's going to take you away from wisdom. And remember, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is personified in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that Christ is our wisdom. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So by wisdom, we're not talking about a mental or intellectual influence. We're talking about Christ himself. Guard your life to make sure you don't allow people in or activities in or situations in that's going to influence and hinder your relationship with Christ and take you away from his wisdom. And before you know it, you're having a picnic with friends out in the meadow, completely off the path. Verses 14 through 17, the commands and characteristics concerning the road of destruction. The road of destruction. First of all, we have six commands. Do not go in the path of the wicked people. This is a lifestyle. This is a road. This is a path. And do not go straight in the way of evil people. In other words, we used to say when we were kids, I made a beeline to the ball field. Phew, straight on. Don't make a beeline to the activities and the gatherings of evil people. You say, why not? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, Paul warned, he said, do not be led astray. Bad companionships corrupt good habits. It's not the other way around. Good habits don't influence corrupt companionships. It's the corruption that influences the good habits. And so Paul's warning in 1 Corinthians 15 against hanging around people that are going to influence you and take you off the path. Verse 15, the third command, avoid it. In case you don't catch the connotation here, what he's saying is, you know, don't be a looky-loo. You know, avoid it. Don't, you know, like people do when we drive down the freeway and there's an accident. It's on the other side going the other way, and it's way over off the road over here. Everybody's got to slow down to 10 miles an hour so they can see it. avoid it. Fourthly, do not pass through it. Don't just say, well, just temporary. I'll just pass through this activity, and then I'll get back on the path. Do not pass through it. Fifthly, turn away from it. And lastly, and pass by or pass on. Totally avoid it. There's a verse that Christians have misused over the years, and it's only my pleasure to bring it up at this time. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, in the King James that people quote, abstain from all appearance of evil. Oh, that just loads people, you know? It's like they look at you like, oh, you appear to be doing evil to me. The appearance, that's what you're appearing to do. So we have, I've even been called in front of a council of people that said, well, you know, some people said you appeared to be involved in some evil. Really? That's interesting. Because what appears to one person might not appear the same to some. This is just loading people to just unload on other people. So I said, I tell you what, before we get into this, my evil, which I'm worse than probably I'm judged to be, so that just totally dismantled that whole project. I'm guilty, okay? But let's take that text. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 is flee from all appearance of evil. As is in the Greek text, it says flee when evil appears, when it appears on the scene. And you stop and think about it. You know, you're somewhere, and all of a sudden here comes a gang of people. Here comes some illegal activities or some bad activities. Get out of there. So that's what this text is saying. Avoid it. Don't pass through it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Get out of there. Flee. Don't just sit there and entertain it. So I said, what it means is that when evil appears, to flee. Now, what did you want to talk about? They didn't want to talk anymore because their interpretation of the text was not correct. And it disarmed them. Okay, well, we don't have anything to say. Okay, good. We can go on with our life. The reasons for this is verses 16 and 17. Because they will not sleep unless they are doing evil. These people that you hang around. They can't go home and go to bed unless they have indulged in enough sin. Then they can go to sleep. And their sleep has been robbed unless they cause someone to stumble. That's powerful. Evil, spiritually evil, is their food and drink that sustains them. Look at verse 17. Because they have eaten the bread of wickedness and they are drinking the wine of violence. They're feeding their sin nature on the violence and the wickedness. And that's their spiritual diet, just like in the physical diet we have food and drink that we eat. So sinning for them is like feeding their soul, the same way we feed our body with food and drink. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone practicing sin is a slave to sin. A slave. Solomon is saying, people who are on the wrong road are addicted to sin, not just to drugs or alcohol or other things. They're addicted to sin. They can't even go to bed at night until they've had enough sin. So that's why he says, avoid it. Turn away from it. pass on. Verses 18 and 19, the comparison between the road of light and the road of darkness. Now, both of these roads, same roads, one is the road of wisdom, one is the road of destruction, one is the road of light, one is the road of darkness. Wisdom is the road of light, spiritual light. The comparison now, verse 18. But the path of righteous people is like a light of brightness going on and becoming brighter until the establishment of the day. That path that Christ puts us on, let's establish two things first. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the road, the truth, and the life. Definite article. The road, the truth, the life. Not just some. He's not just a prophet. He's making a very bold statement. He went on to say in that verse, no one can come to the Father except through me. That's very bold. Nobody else. No other prophets. Just through Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, I am the way. That path of righteous people is Jesus Christ. Their path is like a light of brightness. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. The one following me will never, double negative, never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Never walk in darkness, because he is the light. If you have Christ, you are walking in the light. Period. There's no way not to. That's why John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If a person says, I have fellowship with God and I'm walking in the light, but in reality they're walking in darkness, then they're lying and they're not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin as we fellowship together. His death on the cross, because of that, we're being cleansed. Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 15, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. I can only hope and pray that when you come and we get in the scriptures together, we get in God's word, that spiritually you are made clean. You feel clean mentally, emotionally, spiritually. It's a rejuvenation. It's a cleansing going on because we gather together. Now see, when I sin in the light. See, that's what makes me a Christian. I have no place to hide. Every time I sin right in the light of Christ. There's no place to hide. When a non-believer sins, they sin in the darkness and they think no one sees. But see, when I sin in the light and I am convicted. But I am on a path of brightness that grows brighter and brighter the more I walk on that path until the final day, that appointed day that I stand before Christ. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, it tells us that the city of God has no need of the sun nor of the moon in order that they might shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated this great city, and its lamp is the Lamb. There's no sun, there's no lights in heaven. Jesus is the light. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, there'll be no night there. And they have no need of a lamp or a light of the sun, because the Lord God is illuminating them, and they shall reign forever and ever. So the moment that I received Christ, he put me on his path, and the light illuminates that path only. And the more I walk on that path and the closer I get to Christ, the more that path gets brighter and brighter, and I look off into the future and I see that end day coming. And I see this big glow. It's like, wow, this light's going to lead me to that big one over there. And it'll be that appointed day that when we are with Christ forever. But look at verse 19. The way of the wicked is like the darkness. They have not known in what they are stumbling. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone should walk in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone should walk in the night, he stumbles because the light's not in him. In John chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus said, yet a little time the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, in order that the darkness might not overtake you. The one walking in the darkness does not know where he's going. There's that keep following Christ. The ship can't be steered unless it's moving. The bicycle can't be steered unless it's moving forward. Then you can steer it. Don't let the darkness overtake you. Don't slow down. Don't stop. Don't pause. Don't get off the path. It's like we're in a pack and we're going down this path and then you decide to straggle behind. I don't think you'd let one of your kids do that. It'd be like, little Tyler William, come on. You know, get caught up. Why? Because the enemy has a way of picking people off in the back. Stragglers. People that wander off. And people are stumbling through life and they have no idea why they're stumbling. They're stumbling because they're not on the path of the light with Christ. They're in the darkness, just falling around, stumbling on things. Because spiritually they're in darkness. So he's telling his son, son, stay on the path of wisdom. Make her your life. Don't just listen to me. Actually, make it your road of life, your lifestyle. So follow the wisdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And you will walk in the light. And you will never be hindered and you will never stumble. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that's revealed in your word in the person of Jesus Christ. We pray that we would take heed to it, because Jesus is life. His words are life. Your wisdom is the direction to live the life that you have designed for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.